Well, it's safe to say it's a new dawn in Iraq, but it's partly cloudy.
That's a pretty good weather forecast. Accurate, but not pretty.
Exactly. The lack of clarity over what the new dawn and the end of combat operations in Iraq actually means for U.S. forces was demonstrated over the weekend. And, less than a week after combat operations ended, U.S. forces were reportedly called in to repel a coordinated attack on an Iraqi military base. No American casualties there, or at least none killed. But in the bombing and the shooting that came after, at least 12 Iraqis were killed and more than 20 were wounded. Iraqi forces were also involved in this firefight as well. Iraqi Defense Ministry spokesman Major General Mohammed al-Askari denied, though, that U.S. troops had been involved.
This is not true. We didn't call the American troops. The Iraqi troops did it, foiling the attackers, and we wouldn't use American troops in this kind of operation. I don't think only six attackers represents a threat to Iraqi national security. I'm in direct contact with the operation room and the defense minister, and we never used the Americans in this incident.
But a U.S. military spokesman, Lieutenant Colonel Eric Bloom, said the Iraqi military had requested help from helicopters, drones, and explosive experts. The details in this incident? Well, we're going to go to two reporters with our partner, the New York Times, Anthony Shadid, a foreign correspondent for the New York Times based in Baghdad. We welcome him back. He won the Pulitzer Prize for international reporting this year and in 2004 for his coverage of the Iraq War. He joins us from Baghdad. And Michael Gordon, New York Times military correspondent and author of The General's War, The Inside Story of the Conflict in the Gulf, and Cobra 2. He joins us from Northern Virginia. Anthony, since there's a delay on your line, let me just start with you. What are the details and the truth as we know it about this incident that took place over the weekend?
Well, you might be able to reconcile those two accounts, actually. I don't think the Americans were called into the base. They were actually already in the base as part of what they consider these partnership programs. And the American soldiers were there. Now, what role they exactly played is still a little unclear. The way the American military portrayed it is they did what they call suppressive fire. But the actual raid on where these two insurgents were holed up, that was done by Iraqi troops. Now, when you look at this raid itself, the Iraqi general may have been dismissive of six people posing a challenge, but we have to consider that this was one of the division commands in Baghdad, and an operation of just six men managed to breach the security and actually enter the base. Only two of them managed to get inside. I think it is a blow in some ways to the prestige of Iraqi security forces that the insurgents were able to pull off this attack. It lasted a few hours. It was a very loud scene. As you reported, there was American helicopters were involved along with drones. It's something that's going to be remembered here for a little while, I think.
Anthony Shadid, foreign correspondent for the New York Times, reporting from Baghdad. Michael Gordon, in a situation where combat operations are said to have ended, how are we to characterize this incident? Is this purely defensive combat? And there's going to be a lot of this over the next year or so, right?
Well, I was just in Baghdad last week with Vice President Biden, and I've been at that particular base that was attacked. I was embedded there in 08. I think it's not the case that combat operations have truly ended. The way I put it is the combat phase is over, but the fighting goes on. When you read the fine print of what the administration is talking about, it's clear that offensive American combat operations in partnership with Iraqi forces will continue in the realm of special operations. It's called partnered counterterrorism, but what it means is special operation forces will hunt for al-Qaeda, Iraqi and American, and also American conventional forces retain the right to defend themselves either with the Iraqis or without them.
In your experience, Michael Gordon, in covering deployments of this kind, I mean, when you announce as a matter of, military operations that combat has ended, is there a sense among the troops that you're more concerned about your survival than any overall mission, since you're basically waiting to get the heck out of there? What was the experience in Vietnam or other conflicts where suddenly the mission sort of being drawn down changes the character and maybe the trigger happiness of troops?
Well, first of all, the rules of engagement have not changed. As Anthony said, and I just saw him last week, and I think we have the shared assessment of what's going on, this is a message that's primarily designed for the American electorate. Let's recall that the Bush administration signed a SOFA with the Iraqis under which all American forces are to leave by the end of next year.
That's a status of forces agreement.
Combat by the end of August, and and having only advisory brigades in Iraq is something that President Obama added to the equation after taking office. So, you know, I'll read you one line from a brigade commander in Diyala, because he was trying to explain this very policy to his own families. But he says, we will not simply be riding around in support of the Iraqi forces unable to defend ourselves. We have every right in accordance with the agreement to deal with any threat with the full weight of American military power in our formation. We will not simply sit back in a passive stance and allow extremists to take potshots at us without cost to them. So I really think that what's happening here is the emphasis is shifting to training and advising the Iraqi forces. But the particular brigades that are remaining are combat brigades, and in their structure, they just have additional advisors.
Well, Anthony, let me ask you. I read a comment from an Iraqi citizen in Baghdad who kind of echoed the defense minister, but they seemed highly unconcerned as to who had called into the Americans or if someone had called in. And this Iraqi said, look, the law enforcement here is so used to working with the Americans, they probably just called them out of habit. Have things changed as much for the people of Baghdad as maybe the Obama administration wants the Americans to feel they have?
You know, you don't see American troops in the cities anymore. You haven't seen them since last June. I mean, you know, when you see American convoys riding through the city, it's somewhat unusual. Not all that unusual, but it's somewhat unusual. You know, but again, I think we're kind of miss the phrasing might not be exactly right. The Americans weren't called in. The Americans were already there as part of what Michael was describing as this partnership. You know, they were there, the battle erupted, and they took part. But I think the idea of, like, calling them from another base wouldn't be, you know, exactly accurate.
All right, Anthony Shadid is foreign correspondent for The New York Times, based in Baghdad. Michael Gordon, New York Times military correspondent and author of The General's War, The Inside Story of the Conflict in the Gulf and Cobra 2. Michael Gordon, are they on schedule to be completely out of Iraq by the end of next year?
They are on schedule, but there is an expectation that once a new Iraqi government forms, there'll be a request for some extended, limited American presence to, at a minimum, help with training.
The details of New Dawn from Michael Gordon and Anthony Shadid, both reporters with our partner, The New York Times. Thanks to you both.